invite you to pull your message notes out. We're beginning week number 3, and this is kind of the final message of this series that we're in, Silent Night. And the whole concept of this series is for so many of us today, we sing Christmas carols that very, very few of us actually experience. Like we sing the line, "Sleep in heavenly peace," from the song Silent Night. And there's so few people who could say, you know, that describes my life. Like that really kind of sums up where I'm at. You know, we give and receive Christmas cards every year that are just not a reality of our life. Like these beautiful Norman Rockwell paintings or these beautiful phrases and poems, and everything's gorgeous and beautiful. Yet for most of us, our life during the holidays and really for the whole year is turmoil, it's chaos, it's stress, it's anxiety. And very few people, if you ask them today, how do you sleep at night, would say, you know what, I just got so much peace. Like I sleep like a baby. I mean, I have peace. Very few people can honestly say that. And here's the thing, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should have peace. That should be a hallmark of who we are as followers of Christ. It's a commodity of Christians that every one of us that have committed our life to Christ should possess. So the question is, where is the disconnect? Why do so few of us actually experience the songs that we sing? Why do so few of our lives actually resemble the Christmas cards that we give and that we receive? And As I said earlier, I'm wrestling for you for this series. Like, I desperately want you to get this, but here's the thing that I know about God. God will not impose his peace upon you against your will, no matter how desperately you need it. Like, you may be desperate for God's peace, for some peace to be able to sleep at night and to get rid of some of the anxiety and the stress and some of the fear that you've been struggling with. Here's the thing. God is not going to force his peace into your life. His peace is conditional. You have to make some choices to receive it. You've got to make some choices to grab a hold of his peace, because he's not going to force it into you. And that's the thing about God. Like his grace, that's free. Like, you can go to heaven and still live like a miserable wreck on earth. Like, you can go to heaven and not experience any of the benefits that Jesus wants you to experience, like his peace and his love and his joy and all of that, because he loves you and his grace is free. But things like his peace are very conditional. So we began week 1 with the angel's announcement. So we look at Luke chapter 2. It says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace.'" You see, what we discovered week number 1 is there's no such thing as peace on earth. That concept doesn't exist. I know you see it on signs and you see it in Christmas cards, but the phrase peace on earth, that doesn't exist. In fact, that phrase is only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. And it's in Luke chapter 12 when Jesus says, "Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, I came to bring divisions and wars." That's what Jesus promised. So this whole idea of peace on earth, it's an unrealistic expectation. It'll never happen. But here's the truth. On earth, you can have peace. Peace is available to people with whom God's favor rests. So the question is, how do I get God's favor on my life? Because this world is never going to have peace. But you can experience God's peace in a very unpeaceful world. And that's my goal for you. I mean, honestly, my desire for you this Christmas, and again, I know this sounds cliche. I know it's what a pastor's supposed to tell you. But I really believe, and I'm dreaming, that this year on December 26th, when somebody asks you, "What'd you get?" Like, you can talk about all the different things you opened up from under a tree, but more than anything, you can look him in the eye and say, "You know, this year I've experienced more of God's peace than I've ever had. Like, I have slept better. And honestly, my circumstances haven't changed. In fact, some areas have actually gotten worse, but I've experienced more peace this year than I've ever experienced, that I ever even thought possible." And this is Jesus' desire for you. This is his Christmas gift. John 14, "I'm leaving you with a gift." Like, Jesus has this Christmas present, and you can unwrap it today. You don't even have to wait till the 25th. Like, you can have this present now. "I'm leaving you with the gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give he says, isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. Like the world has a version of peace, but it just doesn't work. It's short-lived. It's temporary. Then last week, we dealt with a message on reconciliation. I encourage you to listen to this entire series. So if you've missed it, go to our video page, go online, listen to these messages, because last week was the one that I know many of us would like to just skip. But the truth is, you can't find peace without it. The Bible says very clearly that if you want to find peace, you have to be a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed or happy is what this word means in the Greek. Or you'll sleep well at night. Blessed are the peacemakers, like those who make peace, because they're the ones that are going to be my children. They're the ones that are going to be called sons and daughters of God. And here's the thing about making peace. Making peace has nothing to do with conflict resolution. Some of you will never resolve the issue because they're never going to say they're sorry. They're never going to apologize. They're never going to admit they're wrong. Some of you have unresolved issues with people who have been dead for years. So making peace has nothing to do with resolution. Some of you are never going to resolve the issue. It's about reconciling in your heart. Or what we learned last week is giving them a zero balance. Doesn't mean what they did was okay. It wasn't okay what happened to you. Doesn't mean it wasn't a big deal. It was a very big deal. Doesn't mean it didn't hurt. It hurt. It simply means you're giving them a zero balance, putting them in the hands of God so that you can experience peace and sleep at night. Today, we're going to talk about this concept, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. It's from the famous passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. It's the famous Christmas verse. We find it in the prophet Isaiah, one of his prophecies that he literally wrote 700 years before Christ. 700 years, he has this prophecy about Jesus, this child that would be given who would be the Prince of Peace. And one of the things that's really cool about the Bible that you should know about the Bible is over 30% of this book is prophecy. 2,500 prophecies in this book. Over 2,000 of them have already been fulfilled to the letter. In fact, in the Old Testament alone, there are 353 prophecies about Jesus. 353 documented prophecies written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. Now, in our church, we've got a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of business people. And one of the things in the business world that they like to take advantage of is what's called quantitative analysis. Quantitative analysis. It's where you kind of use these mathematical, scientific formulas to figure out the probability of something, which comes in very handy in the world of business. Well, some theologians and historians and scientists did some quantitative analysis on the prophecies of Jesus. Just the 353 prophecies on Jesus. What were the odds that these prophecies would actually come true? These prophecies that predicted the future hundreds of years before it happened, what were the odds it would come true? Well, here's what they discovered. If only 8 of the 303 prophecies were fulfilled, here's the odds. The odds are 1 out of 10 to the 17th power, which is 1 with 17 zeros behind it. Like, this is like a quadrillion, it's just a zillion. It's a lot. I mean, it's like a zillion. Those are the odds that 8 of those 353 prophecies coming true. The odds that 48 of them would be fulfilled is 1 out of 10 to the 157th power. I don't have a TV big enough to show you that number. It's 1 with 157 zeros behind it. That's a big number. That's the equivalent of taking the state of California, filling this entire state with quarters 3 feet deep. Imagine filling all of the land of California with quarters 3 feet deep, reaching your hand in and grabbing the right quarter. That's the odds that 48 of these prophecies come true. Well, here's the truth. All 353 of these prophecies about Jesus were fulfilled to the smallest detail. That's how awesome your Bible is. That's how incredible this book is. So let's look at this Christmas prophecy from the book of Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Here's the verse that we all know. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. We're talking about peace with this series. Jesus, they called him the Prince of Peace. Now, The Old Testament part of your Bible was written in the original Hebrew language. The New Testament was written in the original Greek. The Old Testament written in the original Hebrew. This Hebrew phrase, Prince of Peace, is two Hebrew words. It's Sar Shalom. Let's look at these words together. The first part is Sar, Sar. Sar means the one in charge. That's what it means. It means Lord. It means chief. It means general. The word prince, honestly, I know it's beautiful on Christmas cards. It's a very weak translation of the word. Better translated is Lord, the one in charge, the boss. Like the man. This is actually where the Romans got the word Caesar from Tsar. It's where the Russians got Tsar, the ruler, the leader, the one that's in charge. The second part of the phrase is Shalom. It's a very popular Hebrew greeting in Israel today. It just means peace be with you. And Shalom in Hebrew means rest, tranquility, wholeness, completeness, contentment. Jesus is the Sar Shalom, or he is the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Peace, the ruler of tranquility, the captain of rest. He is peace. And here's the big point today. Jesus is peace. He is the Lord of peace. He is in control of all peace because it's who he is. Or in other words, peace is not something Jesus has. Peace is who Jesus is. And it's critical for you to understand that peace isn't something Jesus gives you. Peace is literally who he is. In other words, if I want to teach you about peace today, then all I really need to do is teach you about Jesus. Because Jesus is peace. If you know him, you automatically have peace. And this helps unlock the Bible. Let me show you four scriptures now in context of understanding that Jesus is peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace. Like, this is me. This is my essence. It's who I am. My peace I give you. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that's our salvation, that's grace, we have peace with God. Like, we now, because we've been justified, we have peace. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our peace. So we have peace with God because when we accept him, we get him. We're in relationship with him. I will lie down and sleep in peace. In peace. You know, the New Testament tells us to be in Christ. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. There's no one that can give you peace but Jesus. He's the only one because he is peace. And when you sleep in peace, you're with him and him alone. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Now, why does God bless them with peace? Because God blesses his people with himself, with his presence. God is all about relationship. And then last Sunday, I told you we would come back to this verse, and it kind of says it more clear than any other passage. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And here's the phrase, for he himself is our peace. So again, peace is not something he has. Peace is something he is. He is our peace. And this is the point of today. This is the big reveal. This is the big idea, the concept. It is impossible, absolutely impossible for you to have peace without connecting in an authentic relationship with Jesus because he is peace. You cannot have peace without having him. You know, they did a survey with a group of people and they asked the question, what is peace? And some of the common answers were peace is an emotion or peace is a feeling. And can I just say for a moment, peace is not an emotion. Peace is not a feeling. Another common answer, and probably the most common answer, was peace was the absence of conflict. Like, peace is when everyone stops fighting and then I get a moment of peace. That's peace. Peace is the absence of conflict. Well, can I submit to you today that peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. Peace is not the absence of something. Peace is the presence of someone. See, if peace was the absence of conflict, then it would be impossible to have peace on earth, because this earth will never have peace. There's always going to be conflict. There's always going to be problems. There's always going to be trials, and there's always going to be things that you go through. So peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of Jesus. That's why if you have Jesus, you have peace. Doesn't matter if your circumstances change or not. In fact, the circumstances can actually get worse. And you will sleep better that's why when Jesus is at the bottom of your boat, you can be asleep in the worst storm on sea. So here's the goal today. My goal today, what I'm trying to accomplish, is that you would personally know the Tsar Shalom. That you would have this relationship with him as the Lord of peace. Because when you know him, peace in your life becomes a byproduct of being in relationship with him. So in other words, you don't pursue peace. You pursue Jesus. Because when you get Jesus, by default, you have peace. So I'm going to give you three truths to do this. And I guarantee these truths are biblical and they will bring peace. You will sleep in heavenly peace. You'll sleep like a baby if you'll learn to apply these truths to your life. So if Jesus really is the Lord of peace, if he really is the ruler of tranquility and the captain of rest, here's the key. Number one, get under the lordship of Jesus. Get under his lordship. Submit your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. If he is the Lord of peace and you want peace, if you want to be able to sleep at night, you've got to get under the lordship of Jesus. And here's the problem. Most Christians today don't understand lordship. See, we don't understand. We cannot just call him Lord and expect to get the benefits. We have to submit to him as Lord. Jesus actually said in Matthew 7, there are many people who are going to say, Lord, Lord, but they never submit to me. They never allowed me to be their Lord. They called me Lord, but they never gave me the place of Lord in their life. And I'm going to tell them, get away from me. I didn't even know you. And I'm telling you, this message is going to be strong today. It's going to be challenging for all of us. Because there are many people today who call him Lord who have not allowed him to be Lord in their life. And I thought, you know, what's the best example of this? And I thought about an umbrella. You know, an umbrella is a wonderful thing to have, especially during the rain. You know, but there are a lot of people who can own an umbrella and have an umbrella, but until you submit yourself under the umbrella, you're not protected from the rain. Like if I'm over here, I'm going to get wet. I'm going to get wet. The only way I'm going to receive the benefits of this umbrella is when I submit myself under the umbrella. When I place myself under the umbrella, then I'm protected from the weather. I'm protected from the rain. I'm protected. I get all the benefits of what the umbrella was created to give me. But anytime I get out from under the umbrella, I'm going to get wet. See, this is what lordship is all about. How do we get under his lordship? How do I submit every single area of my life under his lordship so that I can receive the benefits that are available under his lordship? Because under his lordship is protection, is peace, is joy, is all this incredible stuff. But here's the problem with our culture, and here's the problem with our generation. We don't want anyone to be in charge of our life. Don't tell me what to do. I'm the ruler of my life. I am my own person. You see, most of us, we just want Jesus to be our Savior. We don't want him to be our Lord. We don't want him meddling in our life. We just want him to be our, we just don't want to go to hell when we die. We just want to buy the fire insurance. But I don't want to submit to him being Lord of my life. I just want the benefits. And that's the reality. A lot of people, they just want the benefits. Give me the peace, Jesus. Give me the love. Make my marriage better. Help me with my kids. Bless my finances and prosper my career. Just give me all the benefits. But don't you dare tell me what to do, Jesus. Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me what to do with my life. Don't tell me to tithe, Jesus. Don't do it. Just give me the benefits. Like, I don't want to submit to you. I don't want to listen. I don't want to do it your way. I just want the benefits. And so we live under our own rule, and we live under our own direction, and we live with our independence, and then we wonder why we're not blessed more. We wonder why it doesn't seem to be working for me. Like, it seems to be working for everyone else, but why isn't my marriage getting better? And why isn't my finances getting better? And why isn't my family? And why is, you know, Christianity just doesn't seem to work? Well, it doesn't work when you live under your rules. You may be loved and saved and forgiven and on your way to heaven, but if you want the blessings that Christ paid for, you've got to be under the umbrella. You've got to be under his lordship. I thought about it like this. We have, you know, a lot of people in our church who have, you know, jobs, and you have bosses and supervisors, directors, and you also have children, and your children have different activities. I thought, you know, what would it be like if, you know, your child had a, you know, dance recital or a football game? Would anyone in our church ever just like not show up to work to go to a kid's football game without notifying, or getting permission or notifying their supervisor or their boss? Like, no, I mean, we wouldn't be that foolish. Like, we're not just going to like not show up to work. I mean, that'll get us fired. Like, you know, we got a boss and we got somebody that we report to. I'm not just going to not show up I'm going to at least, you know, go to my supervisor or boss and say, would it be all right if I went to my kid's football game Friday afternoon? I'm going to leave work a little bit early and would it be all right? Or just notify them. Why? Because we've got a boss. But yet, how many people treat God that way on Sunday? Like, just decide not to show up to church on Sunday. And again, let me be absolutely clear. You don't need my permission. I didn't die on the cross. You don't see any nail scars here. I am not your Lord and Savior. So don't think I'm trying to create something I'm not. I'm not your Lord. I'm just saying there's people who just bother not showing up to church, call Jesus Lord, and never even get his permission or even let him know. Like ahead of time, pray, like Jesus, would it be okay if like I took the family out today to go do this? I mean, they just don't even consider Jesus in their decision making. The question is he the Lord of your life or isn't he? Acts 10, verse 36 says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace. Like, hey, there's great news. You can have peace. Like, you can sleep at night. And that good news of peace comes through Jesus Christ. But here's the catch, and this is the one that we don't like, who is Lord, Master, Ruler, Commander, the one in charge of all. Not just all people, but all areas of your life. Like, you want the peace, you want the benefits, you got to make them Lord of all. Lord of every area of your life. So what this means is you can't just do whatever you want to do and get God's peace. Again, there is a condition to God's peace. Like, his grace is free and you may be saved and forgiven and on your way to heaven. You just might be living with a lot of stress and anxiety here on earth because you're out of the umbrella. You're not under his lordship. You're going to get wet. And can I just say, there is nothing outside of the lordship of Jesus that will ever bring you peace. Not one thing outside of his lordship that will ever give peace to your life. It's his peace. If you want his peace, you have to stay under the covering. Let me show you this next verse, and this is a beautiful picture of God's righteousness. And here's, you know, most Christians, they think righteousness is you becoming right. Like, you got to become a good person. That's what righteousness is. You got to work really hard. But the Bible is very clear. There's nobody that's righteous. No, not one. So not one of you will ever become righteous. You cannot become righteous in your own ability because it'll never happen. But here's the good news. You can come under his righteousness. See, that's what the New Testament teaches us, is that we can't become righteous. We'll never be good enough, but we can come under the righteousness of Christ. You can submit yourself under his righteousness. Now, look at this verse. The fruit of that righteousness, not your righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, because you'll never be righteous. But the fruit of his righteousness, when you're submitted under his righteousness, when you're submitted to him as Lord, here's the fruit, the benefit, the result, the promise for what will happen in your life. There will be peace. That's what this is all about, peace. Some of you need peace. You're dealing with anxiety and stress and fear and worry, and you just need a good night's sleep. You need some peace. Well, if you want the peace, that's the fruit of being under his righteousness. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people, and I'm praying that this becomes the promise for you today, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. I don't know anyone here today that would say, I don't want that. We all would love that to reflect our life. We all would love that to be true about our life. But it only happens when he becomes the Prince of Peace, the Lord of every area of your life. So I challenge you. Don't just know the Sar Shalom. Get under his lordship. Now, how do we practically get under the lordship of Jesus? Number two, bring Jesus into every situation. That's how you practically do it. You bring him into every situation of your life. So if you don't have peace in your finances, bring Jesus into your finances. If you don't have peace in your marriage, bring Jesus into your marriage. If you don't have peace in your family, bring Jesus into your family. If you don't have peace in your career, bring Jesus into your career. But here's the problem. For most of us, we like to compartmentalize our lives. And we compartmentalize Jesus. Like, we fit Jesus into our Sunday morning, but we don't bring Jesus into the rest of the week. See, my dream is to build a church of people who will bring Jesus into their Mondays, who will bring Jesus into their Tuesdays, who will bring Jesus into their Wednesdays, who will bring Jesus into every area of their life. I mean, somebody please bring him to the Forum parking lot during the holidays because they definitely need peace there. I don't know about you, but that's like a war zone over there right now. Let me show you this next verse. Now may the Lord of peace. Notice how this phrase Lord keeps coming up. This is the phrase Prince of Peace in the New Testament. The Lord of peace himself give you peace. Why? Because it's his at all times, not just on Sunday morning. He wants to give you peace all the time, every day of the week, every situation, and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. You know, we as a church, Coastline Church, we are part of ARC. We are an ARC church. ARC stands for Association of Related Churches. And every once in a while, I think it's important for you that are part of our church family to understand the heritage that we have. We have an amazing founder who created the ARC, and his name was Billy Hornsby. It's my pastor's father-in-law, Chris Hodges. For those of you that went through the Life Connect groups, you read Billy's story. It's in one of the chapters. It was, you know, the guy where the teacher said, you'll never amount to anything, and he believed that lie for years until it was broken over his life. That's Billy, the founder of ARC. And I can say with almost surety that none of you would be here right now if it wasn't for Billy Hornsby, because I wouldn't be here right now without Billy Hornsby. I met Billy in 2009, and he impacted my life greatly. And I told myself, if I ever became a pastor, if God ever blessed me to lead a church, I was going to join the ARC and be a part of Billy and everything they're doing, because they're the real deal. And they've made such an impact on my marriage. They made such an impact on my personal walk with Christ, such an impact on leading and growing a church that I don't believe any, you know, obviously it's God. We know that. But God used Billy's impact on my life to bring me into the ARC and to allow me to have a relationship with my pastor, Chris Hodges. And Billy went to be with Jesus in 2011. He was diagnosed and very quickly died of cancer. And before he died, he brought all of his children, his grandchildren in, and he said, listen, I just need to give you a message. He goes, I want you to know I'm going to make you proud. I'm going to show you how to do this with Christ in a way that very few people ever do it. And here's what Billy said. He goes, because we have Jesus in our lives, and that we bring him into every situation, that's the point. Billy said, even in our cancer, we have peace. Even in our cancer, we have peace. And one of the grandchildren said, well, how do you do that? And his wife, Charlene, jumped in. And she said, every day we make a choice. She goes, every day I wake up in pain. Every day I wake up hurting. Every day I wake up with problems. But I make a choice. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. She said, I make a choice to do that every single day, to think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, the Apostle Paul says, or seen in me, put it into practice. Again, there's conditions on receiving the peace of God. No matter how desperately you need it, God is not going to force his peace into your life. You put it into practice, and here's the result. The God of peace will be with you. So if you're wondering today, why is there such a disconnect? Why am I not experiencing the Christmas songs that we sing about? Like, what am I missing? It could be that you need to get under the lordship of Christ. It could be you have areas of your life not submitted to him. So as I give you the final point, let me set it up with this scripture. We talked about this week number one. You will keep him in perfect. Look at that. It's not just regular peace, average peace, perfect peace. Perfect peace. Who gets perfect peace? Those whose mind is stayed on you. Those who fix their mind on God. So here's point number three. Keep your mind on Jesus. You want perfect peace? Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep focused on him. Submit to him. Make him the Lord of your life. Not just the Savior. Make him the Lord. Submit every area of your life. Keep your mind focused on him. And here's my prayer for you this Christmas as your pastor. May the God of hope fill each one of you. Like, I want to see every one of you filled with his joy and filled with his peace this holiday season. Again, here's the condition. As you trust in him, you're going to have to fix your mind on him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we end the message today, I want to illustrate this better than I can possibly illustrate it. And I'm going to illustrate it through the life, again, of Billy Hornsby, our founder of ARC. One, so that you can get to know him a little bit, since you never had the chance to meet him personally. So that you know our heritage a little bit. But more than that, I want to show you a very vivid illustration that you can see, that you can feel, that you can even touch and taste almost, of somebody who submitted to the lordship of Jesus and in the face of death had such incredible peace. So we're going to watch a video. The first part of the video is part of his memorial. It's just kind of like highlights of his ministry. And then at the end of the video, he gave a personal message to all of the pastors of the ARC at our national conference in 2011, because he knew he wasn't going to be there. He knew that he was very likely not going to live to be at that conference. And so he filmed this message a week before he went to be with Jesus and a couple weeks before our conference. And it's the greatest illustration of what it looks like to be submitted to the lordship of Jesus and to have peace in the face of death. Watch this with me.
I take God seriously, I take my faith graciously, but I take life hilariously. Isn't that the way to do it? Take God seriously, take your faith graciously, but take your life hilariously. Well, I've been married 43 years, Charlene's sitting on the front row there, and we are happy, happy, happy. We've been happy, we got married, we waited till we were 17, and I tell the young people just to wait, because we did. And I just so happen to believe that your ability to relate to and get along with other people really is a reflection of your relationship with God. To finish well, our lives have got to be about him. It's got to be about his glory. We are all broken, but now we've been washed and we've been sanctified. We sit here today innocent before God because of the blood of Jesus. And if we desire that today and don't have it, we can receive that utter, complete forgiveness from Jesus Christ. One of my goals in life, especially the older I get, is to be a significant factor in the success of somebody else's life. Not just focusing on me, but focusing on the success of other people. I'm going to live a life that honors him. There's enough grace that comes from God that I'm able to withstand and overcome anything that comes my way. And that's the promise of God to me. What an incredible thought that my life would be a drink offering poured out on the altar of the Lord. That I could say one day that I finished what God sent me here to do.
Turning wide,
man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is the moment when he worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle. When I go, I don't want to have a lot of stored up energy. I want to have expended it all doing good. How about you? Let's just go ahead and wear ourselves out for the Lord.
Greetings, every one of you. There is a great possibility that if you're seeing me on video, that I'm with the Lord. And I know that may shock some of you, but I want you to know that God has been very faithful to me. I wanted to know that he had taken the fear out of death, the stress out of death, the sting out of death. And earlier this year, in 2011, during the prayer and fasting that all our churches were so faithful to do, I found out that I had melanoma that had spread throughout my brain, and I was having blood clots go through my heart, lodging in my lungs, all that kind of stuff. And on several occasions, I had near-death experiences. And I probably had a real one by now, and I'm not sure. But I'm probably with the Lord right now. But I do want to tell you this to your faith. The gospel is absolutely true to the end. I never feared for a moment that the Lord Jesus Christ would be there for me. And the reason I didn't fear is because I'm a covenant person. I made a covenant with Jesus, and he said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I had so much peace during those trials that it passed normal comprehension. I couldn't believe it. But I was rejoicing. And I always asked the Lord, I said, I want to experience death like a normal person experienced death. And I want to be caught up with the Lord. And I want the door to open one day and I want to say, my Redeemer liveth. And I got to experience that. I want you to know that he is so faithful. Never turn from him. Always know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Through the most difficult trials of my life, he was always a very shining torch, a bright torch, always shining in my life. And to close, I want to say, I never asked the Lord for something special. I didn't ask him to send me a cloud from heaven to come get me. I didn't want the sweet chariot to come by and pick me up. I didn't want any special privileges or special occasions at my death. I wanted to die like a regular person died. And I wanted to experience a supernatural Savior as he took me home to him and the Lord. I love you with all my heart. If I'm gone today, if I'm at home with the Lord, I want you to know you have a very, very special place in my heart. And I want you to know this too. I'm going to ask Jesus to answer all your prayers and give you the desires of your heart. I love you. God bless you.
I can't think of a more vivid illustration of peace than in the life of Billy. He knew what it was for Jesus to be Lord. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It's just this passion that I'm going to stay under the umbrella. I'm going to stay under his lordship. I'm going to submit to him. The beautiful thing is you get the benefits. When he's the Lord of peace and he's the Lord of you, then peace is so evident and so real and so rich in your life. And some of you desperately need that right now. Would you close your eyes for a moment? As we leave today, you may not be facing death like Billy, but you could be facing the loss of a job. You could be facing finances that are not going in the direction you want. You could be facing a marriage that's falling apart. You could be facing a child that's, you know, just a strained relationship, and you need God's peace. One of the ways to receive his peace is that you submit every area to him. You make him the Lord of it all. You can't make Jesus Lord of some. You can't say, Jesus, you know, you can have this area of my life, and I'll show up Sunday morning, but don't ask me for this area of my life, and this one's mine, and you can have that, but you know, you can't say, give me all the benefits and not submit to his lordship. It doesn't work that way with him. And what does it mean to make Jesus the Lord of your life? It means to make him number one on your list. And here's the thing, if Jesus isn't number one on your list, please don't deceive yourself. He's not on your list. I mean, if you just think about it logically, can you really imagine squeezing Jesus into second place in your life? Can you really imagine, you know, fitting Jesus into third place? And I know you feel like he's on your list. That's why you're here. It's like you wouldn't be here today if you didn't want Jesus on your list. Like we all feel like we need Jesus. But here's the thing. He's not fire insurance. He's either Lord of all or not at all. And you have to make that decision. Are you going to submit? Are you going to come up under that umbrella? Because you've been standing in the rain long enough. You've been doing it your way long enough. Try it his way. He's a good God. Submitting to him isn't punishment. It's not hard. It's not difficult. Jesus actually says, if you'll do it my way, it's light and easy. You keep doing it your way and it's hard, it's difficult, it's stressful, there's worry and fear and anxiety. But if you'll just submit every area to me, it's light and it's easy. It may sound scary because we live in this independent culture where I don't want to listen to anyone and don't tell me what to do and I'm going to do it my way. But let's be honest, how far has your way gotten you? I dare you to try. I dare you to try. I dare you to just surrender to him as Lord. And watch his peace just come over you. His love, his joy, the abundant life that he desperately wants you to have. He paid for it. He worked very hard to pay for it. It's all available to you. So for those of you that need to kind of surrender to his lordship today, could be the very first time you've ever done this, maybe your very first time in a Christian church. And you may not understand everything I'm saying, but there's something inside your heart saying that what I'm saying is true, and you feel that. You need to know that's God's spirit. That's God's presence tugging at your heart. That little thing inside of you right now that's saying you need to do this. Even though your mind is saying, I don't understand, it doesn't make any sense. That thing in your heart saying you need to do this, that is God's spirit. That's why I can stand up here with confidence. I'm not trying to intellectually persuade you to do anything. Because I know the spirit of God is much more powerful than anything I can try to talk you into doing intellectually. And you know in your heart, you feel it in your heart saying, there's something out of alignment, there's something not right. What he's saying, you need to buy into this. You feel that. I trust God enough to know he's speaking to your heart right now. And so I want to give you an opportunity to say yes. To say yes to Jesus being the Lord of your life. Which simply means to make a decision to put him number one on your list, to rearrange your life to reflect he's number one. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you'll never make mistakes. It's just saying, listen, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to live under the umbrella. I don't want to get wet anymore. I'm going to come up under his lordship. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And I'd like to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or walk down to the front. You don't even have to pray this out loud today. Like if you'll just pray this in your heart, God will hear your heart today and he'll respond to you. So with every eye closed, nobody looking around, this is just so I know who's joining me. If you want to pray with me, this very simple prayer of inviting Jesus to be the Lord of your life, with nobody looking around, would you just very quickly slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Just right now, raise your hand quickly. Thank you, 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 thank you. I appreciate all of those hands. The prayer is very simple. just say, Jesus, today I invite you to be the Lord of my life. I don't fully even know what that means, but I am taking a step of faith, and I am allowing you to take charge of my life. Jesus, will you forgive me for all the times you were not the Lord of my life? And lastly, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being the Lord of peace in my life. Thank you that I can sleep in heavenly peace, that I don't have to stress anymore because I'm giving myself to you. It's your job now to worry about my life. My job just to submit and surrender. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In your name, amen. If you prayed with me, I'm going to encourage you to do one more step. On the connection card you received in your worship guide, there's a line that says, my decision today. And if you prayed with me, you made a decision. And it's either I'm committing my life to Christ, that means I allow Jesus to take number one on my list for the very first time, or I'm renewing my commitment. I moved him back to number one. Like he slid down and I moved him back to number one. If you made either one of those decisions, we'd love to know about it. It's one of the greatest decisions you'll ever make here on earth. And we'd like to pray God's blessing over that decision. And we'll also email you some next steps. We don't call you or show up unless you ask us to. All we'll do is send you an email that gives you some of the next steps of what it means to live out being under the umbrella of Jesus' Lordship. Would you stand with me and we close in prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, this isn't easy, God, especially in the world that we live in today where we live in this very independent, where if I feel it, I should be able to do it, and what I think is right for my life, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. God, let us reject all of that philosophy because it gets you nowhere. We may be independent, but we're stressed and filled with anxiety and fear and depression, and it just doesn't work. So God, let us surrender our independence to become totally dependent on you, to make you the Lord of our life, Lord of every area of our life. Not just call you Lord, but submit to you as Lord, to stay under the umbrella so that we'll stop standing out in the rain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being a good Lord. Thank you that if we submit to you, you only want to bless us. You're not asking us to submit to punish us and to make our life more difficult. Actually, you want us to submit so that you can bless us, because under that umbrella is blessing. You're just trying to get us under the umbrella so that you can give us good things. God, it's so much better staying dry under the umbrella than standing out in the rain. So let us take that step of faith and submit to you every area of our life so that we can receive all the fullness of your love, of your life, of your peace, and of your joy. In the name of Jesus Christ.